Good morning, everyone. I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'll let you know what I'm thankful for is to play in front of you guys today. This song is called Raise a Hallelujah. Announcements. Well, that is a Christmas song, and Christmas is coming. So, the next song we are playing is that song with lyrics.
Good night. comes triumphant to rule and reign. He'll come and take us home.
Good morning. Hey, please have a seat. Thanks so much for being here today. My name is Andrew, and we had a fantastic Thanksgiving. It's the first Sunday in Advent, which is why, look at all this. Can we give a handout to our decorating team? Oh my goodness. They did such a good job. They did such a good job. Now, as the first Sunday in Advent, we are actually going to be doing something that is kind of a tradition in the church. And that's to light an Advent candle each week. Now, this Sunday, I'd actually asked Don Miller if he would come and do that. But as some of you know, we've been praying for Don. He's on our prayer list. He's fighting a fairly severe and fairly rare stomach infection, among some other things. So he was hoping to be here, but what I was able to do is actually do a little video clip of him earlier this week, so we had a bit of a backup. So I'm going to invite our team to actually play that video, and while that video is playing, we'll be lighting the Advent candle, and Don will be leading us in a time of prayer. So let's enjoy that together.
Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. We light this candle to remind us of the hope we have through Christ. Jesus came as a baby born of Mary. One day he will return to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Lord, fill us with hope as we anticipate your coming. Amen.
Amen.
Well, he's always been my mountain. You know, that's my theme. He has always been there when I least expected it. You know, just there. And pull me through the hole. Always fills me with hope. You know, I have to think about that. It's just, he has been just Johnny on the spot every experience of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, like I say, I was a rascal. Mm-hmm. And I'd walk narrow walk from time to time, regretfully, you know, but I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Jesus. He's a powerful force.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to heaven because I've got a lot of relatives up there that I haven't seen for 50, 60 years. Mm. And it's going to be a great gathering. My blessed grandmothers. Yeah. Be great to see them again.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Don Miller and his wife Gail, along with Bob and Susan, they were founding members of the church. So now about 19, almost 19 years ago. And so, yeah, hearing Don, and Don, I'm assuming you're watching right now, but having him being able to lead with the Advent candle is just incredibly meaningful. He believed in me and in the dream of this church, way back before he had any good reason to. So, very grateful for him. So, who knew Advent candles could be so deep? But that is part of what Advent is. It's remembering that we are in a season of hope, and that God is doing work in this world and in its unfinished business. And so it invites us to be part of the unfinished business with him. So we're gonna pray for our kids, and as they head off to Children's Church, and thank God for the people that are investing in our dear children. So would you join me in a word of prayer as we pray for our kids? Lord, we just thank you for our kids. We thank you for Children's Church. We thank you for the lessons that they're learning. We thank you for people who are volunteering for Children's Church, for Marsha and her amazing team, even to have people like those that are volunteering their time for that parents' night out on Friday. But this is the church that is investing in the next generation. And just thank you for that. So we pray your blessing on the kids and on their leaders too. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our kids are going to be dismissed to Children's Church. And while they are, we're going to put some social media up on the screen. People are greeting us or joining us from all over the place. So I think we have a few of those. And then also take this time to greet a few people around you. Like give somebody a fist bump or a high five, or just let them know that you're glad to see them. And we're going to jump back into worship real soon.
As you make your way back towards your seats, we invite you to continue to stand if you're able as we enter into a time of continued time of worship today. This next song is straight from the Bible, Book of Revelations. Let's enter into worship. We get a peek at the throne room of heaven in this song a little bit. So let's worship together. See you.
Please have a seat and let's join together in a time of prayer. God, we thank you that you are faithful to every generation. God, we thank you that you are sovereign over history. God, we thank you that you are splendid. If we could see the veil between earth and heaven just rolled back for a moment, we would see you in all your glory. God, our minds would have difficulty comprehending any of it. But Lord, help us not to forget in these moments, as we're talking to you even this morning, help us to not forget who we're talking to. And thank you, God, that you listen to the prayers of your children. So, Lord, that's why we pray for the things that are going on in the world around us. We pray for the leaders above us. We pray for wisdom. We pray for peace. We pray we'd be good stewards of the resources that we have, of the planet that you've entrusted to us. We pray for those in the margins of society, for those who society often doesn't see. God, we know that you see them, and we pray, God, that we would increasingly see them as well. God, we pray for an ending to COVID and all its effects. And God, we pray that our hearts would not be troubled by the possibilities of new variants. That God, somehow you're sovereign even in the midst of that. In a society that sometimes seems like it is fraying, we pray for those who lost their lives in the Wisconsin, the Christmas parade this past week. And Lord, we pray for peace. And we know that for peace to come into the world, it needs to come into our hearts. And so we pray, God, that we would receive that peace, especially as followers of you. But Lord, somehow through that, we might be agents of peace to the world around us because we see the need everywhere. Lord, we pray for the missionaries around the world. And we especially think of Congo because our church is so involved there and we've got dozens of children that we are sponsoring in Congo. God, would you advance your work in Congo, Africa? Lord, we pray for Alaska and those ministry partnerships we have with the churches, especially in the Norton Sound area. God, would you just show us how to come alongside and help and support and mutually grow. God, we pray for the missionaries in Haiti. Oh, we thank you that a couple have been returned back to their families, but we pray for the dozen or more that still have yet to find safety. We pray for those in our church who are hurting, for those whose marriages are struggling, for those who are struggling against addiction or depression, for work, and they're asking for your direction. Lord, we pray for a breakthrough in the area of children's ministry. We pray you would raise up that right leader. Lord, help us to see that person as they emerge. We pray that our children would thrive. And God, we just thank you for volunteers who are so willing to help. Lord, may we be a church where children thrive. We pray for those nursery volunteers to join the pack so that that area of ministry can reopen safely and soon. And Lord, especially this week, we pray for those who are mourning a loved one. We pray for those who are feeling the absence at a chair at the Thanksgiving meal. Lord, thank you that you hold our loved ones in your hands. And so, Lord, we want to pray for some very specific needs right now. We pray for Brant Capel. He's waiting for a heart transplant. You know the need. And we don't even know how it's going to get answered. But you do, and you can. So we pray you would in the right way. We pray for everyone involved in that process. God, we pray for Don Miller as he battles a stomach infection. Oh, we thank you that Mary Clark is home and recovering from her brain aneurysm. We pray that would continue. We pray for Tammy Wilson. She's asking you for housing. You know the need. We pray you'd open up the opportunity and give her the favor she needs. We pray for Laura Winchester's nephew, Wayne, who's in hospice. And God, we pray, we weep with Joy Schroeder as she and the family mourn the passing of Dick. We pray with Daryl Goodman and his family as they mourn the passing of his brother, Gus. We pray with Bill Mills. He mourns the passing of his best friend, Jimmy. Those losses, they hurt. God, thank you that you are there with us in the midst of them. Lord, we pray for Ernie Garrett as he recovers from a fractured pelvis. And even those needs, God, those are in your hands as well. And Lord, we want to take a moment just as a congregation, maybe silently or out loud, just to lift up some of the people and some of the needs that are on our hearts. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayers or online as people post those prayers and our online ministers interact with them and we pray for one another. God, hear the prayers of your children. Thank you that you can. Thank you that you do. We lift them up to you right now. Lord, thank you that you hear all of these prayers, the ones that have been spoken out loud in the room, the ones that have been lifted up online, and the ones that we just whisper under our own breath. You hear each one. You know how to answer. Now, Lord, we pray that as we turn our attention to your word, that our minds would be attuned to it. Thank you, God, that you have something to say to us through your word. Help us to listen today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, that sounded great. Just so you know, like, wow. Like, can there be a cello in my like my prayer times all the time? Actually, I have some of that in my prayer times at home. It's really, you can't have her. And that's all I'm saying. It's pretty cool. But here's a question. Maybe you've wondered about this. Are you a patient person? I'm seeing a lot of giggles around the room. I'm seeing a lot of spouses looking at one another and saying, "Don't you say yes." I hate waiting. How about you? Hate it. Like, so I'm a horrible, this is one of the reasons why I'm just a horrible person to shop with. Because I hate waiting in lines. Anybody else like just you like you're like I'm gonna be a Christian, I'm gonna you're ready to turn your love like Jesus, you know, little wristband over when you're standing in a checkout line. How about this one? When you are on hold, like on a phone thing, or it's like, press one for, press two for, human, I'm pressing for human. The wait time will be approximately 25 minutes. What? Are there no humans on the other side of the phone? I hate waiting. But honestly, those forms of waiting, I mean, just the irritating forms of waiting are one thing. But the season of Advent is about the deeper forms of waiting. The ones that, the waiting in a line for checkout, or, you know, the sitting on hold is definitely annoying. I am with you in that. But the ones that really wear our souls down are the deeper forms of waiting. Like, God, are you going to fill your promises about making this world right? Or am I always going to struggle with this? Like, I've seen you change my life, Jesus, but there's a lot of work to do. Why aren't these elements of my soul changing faster? God, I've heard your promises. How long? Those forms of waiting. Those ones are at times really, really hard. The prayer for the loved one that is distant from God. I heard some people just praying for loved ones, as we are lifting up our congregational prayers. Oh God, would you just open their eyes? Please, God. And you've pleaded with God day after day, week after week, year after year. Please, God. Why not? Those are the forms of waiting that really sting, right? Advent is a season of waiting. And so, I wanted us to take a look at Advent is the time where we typically are looking at some of the passages in the Old Testament that were then fulfilled in Christ. And so today we're going to take a deeper look at Isaiah chapter 11. It was actually the passage that Don Miller read the first parts of as we were lighting the Advent candle this morning. One of the things that blows me away about this passage, see, this was written about 700 B.C., by the prophet Isaiah. And as he's writing these words, I mean, the book of Isaiah is ultimately, it's a prophecy of judgment. You know, in chapter 1, Isaiah is declaring to the people, you have turned your back on God. And he is about to use the Assyrian Empire to bring his judgment on you. So things are not looking good at all. It's a book that has moments that are absolutely bleak, and then these moments of just shining hope and promise, just right next to each other, just right back to back as if. And so even as we hear these words of prophecy that would be fulfilled in Jesus, mostly about 700 years later, it helps us to understand that process of waiting and what we are waiting for. What are you really waiting for? Because the deeper waiting in your soul probably doesn't have too much to do with just finally getting through the checkout or finally getting through hold. It has to do probably something with those larger themes of redemption. God, when are you going to really set the world right? What are you waiting for? What are you really waiting for today? So, let's open up Isaiah chapter 11 together. We're going to read it in its entirety and then go back through it with a little bit more detail. And my prayer is that we just, that God would increase our ability to wait. Help us to understand what it means to wait, and at the same time, he would increase our longing for the promises that will be fulfilled. You with me? All right, let's dive in together. Isaiah 11, 1 through 9, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young children will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So let's walk through that a little bit more. So a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. So out of this tree stump, something new will grow. You ever feel like you have been cut down? Like this giant oak, but now you're a lumber? This is the message of hope in the midst of devastation. Israel, you feel like you've been chopped down. You have. You're just a stump. But God is not through with you yet. A shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Who's he talking about? Who's Isaiah prophesying about? Jesus. That's right. Some 700 years from now. Now, he doesn't include the timeline in this prophecy. He just gives the promise. That's one of the things about God. He promises things, but he doesn't always tell us when it's going to happen. His promises always come true, but they don't necessarily come true on our timeline. But his. That one day, the promised one will come. A leader who has true wisdom, a leader who is truly trustworthy. He's not just a better politician, he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Savior of the world. And when he comes, and he comes in power, and that's the piece that, I mean, it seems like Isaiah didn't see. And in the nation of Israel, at least initially couldn't see, is that God's promise in Jesus would be fulfilled in two stages. He would come initially as that promised one, the anointed one, the baby in the manger, but he would also come as the suffering servant that Isaiah would later prophesy about. But they were looking forward to, and we look forward to, the day this same Messiah comes in power. When he comes not to take sides, but to take over. There will be no more elections when Jesus comes. You understand that? You know that globe that has all the little lines on it, and you know, you spin it, and you go, hey, what country would I want to visit next? And you know, whatever you do with that, all the lines get erased because he's got the whole world in his hands. And we drew the lines. God didn't draw the lines, and Jesus rules all of it. He rules all of it. And when he comes, And when he comes and he takes over, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with justice he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. One day there will be true justice. Now, arguably here in the United States and in Canada, we have the best justice system on earth, arguably. And yet all of us know it's incomplete. Now, thank God for good judges and good lawyers and good prosecuting attorneys and all of the mechanics of that system. Thank God for that. But it is imperfect. One day, there will be true justice. If you are waiting on true justice, know that God always keeps his promises. It might take a while, but he always keeps his promises. And things will change so much as true justice comes to this earth that even the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, that one day there will be such peace in the world that even the predator and prey relationships that we know now will be vastly different. Some commentators say the passages like this tell us, and I mentioned this before and you didn't freak out or leave, that there's a decent chance that in the new heaven and new earth, we're all going to be vegetarians. And that might sound horrible to you, but you've also never tasted the redeemed tomato. Or that kale that right now is disgusting. If all of the veil of sin was removed, God keeps his promises. I could be wrong on that, but passages like this do point to that possibility. Don't worry, the food in the new heaven and the new earth will be fantastic. But some things are going to change when true justice comes to earth. And so just like the Israelites, as they are seeing the Assyrian army start to gather and saber rattle at their borders, just like Mary and Joseph, as they're living in a country that has been occupied by the Roman Empire. You know, we find ourselves in those seasons of waiting. Like, God, when are you going to deliver your people? God, when are you going to make things right? But passages like this remind us, and this is the first big idea of the day I'd just like us to lock into, is that I can worship right where I am. I can worship whatever the circumstance around me. I will worship right where I am. Would you say that with me just to kind of lock that in? I will worship right where I am. And so this prophecy comes to Isaiah, not because everything is great, but because in the midst of everything looking horrible, God wants to remind him, and through him, the nation of Israel, and through the nation of Israel, us. He is right there. He is right there. And see, our hope, you know, isn't rooted just in optimism. Now, who here is an optimist? Like, you just generally see things, yeah. You can put your hands up. I caught myself saying this yesterday. It was just a little technical challenge thing. But I've got myself saying this line. There's always a solution. There's always a solution, right? Who would would say something like that in a challenge? There's always a solution. I like being around people like you. You know, it does help because oftentimes there is a solution. You find the right button, you pull the right lever, you put in the right code, you say the right thing, you make the right business move, and things kind of turn around. Sometimes there is a solution. Actually, most of the time, there is a solution. There's got to be a solution out there somewhere. Yay, optimists. Yay, go for it. And yet, optimists, we need to remember, sometimes there is not the solution. Sometimes the medical test comes back and there really isn't something that can still be done. Sometimes there is no way to actually fix the relationship. Sometimes the business is going to go under no matter what. Sometimes you're going to put your best efforts in, your most creative processes, and it's still going to tank. Our hope as Christians isn't that things are just going to work out. I mean, I hope you're optimistic. It's more fun to be optimistic, I think. But our hope as Christians is not that we are just trying to be optimists. Our hope as Christians is not in a series of events. Our hope is in a person. For the Israelites, they knew that the same God that led the people out of slavery in Egypt, the same God that parted the Red Sea, is going to be capable of ultimately delivering them from the Assyrian army and from the Babylonian Empire that would follow them. Even though it would take years and years and years, even though it wouldn't necessarily benefit their life or their grandkids' life or even their great-grandkids' life, that God would somehow keep his promises. God would somehow not forget his people. That God would somehow fulfill everything he said he would do. Our hope is not in a series of events. Our hope is in a God who keeps his promises. The same God that parted the Red Sea can hold on to his people. And as Christians, we have that hope, but we have even more. Because we know Jesus. And I'm telling you, the same God that raised Jesus from the dead promises that one day you and I will be resurrected. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you from the dead. The same God who rolled the stone away will one day roll every stone of injustice away. We serve a God who keeps his promises. That's why we can worship right where we are. So these words come to Isaiah chapter 11, and there's these moments, even in the midst of seeming devastation, when it feels like the tree has been felled and you're just left with a stump. There's these moments where you just see these glimpses of God and who God is and what God is doing. Have you ever thought to yourself, like, you know, when you're going through a tough time, God, if I could just see a glimpse of who you are, and of what you were doing. You ever thought about that? God, I just want to see a glimpse. I just want to see something. Well, I want to put a thought into your head on that. So, in Isaiah chapter 6, and you could turn there if you like, you know, Isaiah gets this glimpse of heaven. And those words are repeated, I believe, because it was the same glimpse of the same heaven. They're repeated in Revelation chapter 4. Actually, we just heard a song that was referring to a lot of that same imagery. If you have your paper Bibles, would you just open them up to Revelation chapter 4? Or if you've got your smartphone, and hopefully you've installed the Bible app on that, or some version of the Bible app. Otherwise, it's a dumb phone. Okay? right? So you can put the scriptures on there, makes it a smartphone. Otherwise, it is just a distraction device, okay? But I'd like you to take that out just for a moment, okay? Now, I'm going to be reading from the New International Version in Revelation chapter 4. But here's, as we get ready to read that together, I'd like you to kind of imagine something with me. So this is a little bit of an imagination exercise, but not much. Not much. Like, what if? So here's Revelation chapter 4. I'm actually going to be reading the large print because, like, I'm old. But, and I need reading glasses. But as you're reading Revelation chapter 4, I mean, it starts off with this image of the veil between earth and heaven just kind of disappearing. A door opens, and John is invited to look through. You know, modern science would probably say this is like another, you get to temporarily get to look into another dimension. I mean, physicists tell us that there are more than three dimensions. We happen to live in just three of them. We only personally can detect three of them. But there are more. And so maybe it's a little bit like that, or maybe it's something different than that. But just somehow the veil between earth and heaven, the veil or that fourth dimension or whatever it is, suddenly opens up. As you're looking at your little screen, and I see many of you got your smartphones out, and that's good. Would you imagine, what if that screen, just take a look at it, for just a moment, was a window? And on the other side, you could see, not just read about, but see the scene that we're about to read in Revelation chapter 4. You know, because for all those times in our life, we think, God, I am just struggling right now. I just need a glimpse of who you are. I just need a glimpse. I just need a glimpse. I just need a glimpse. Just maybe, no, I don't know the mind of God on this, but I think it's a pretty good guess. Maybe the reason why God told Isaiah to write it down and told John to write it down is so that you and I and we would always have a glimpse available. That you wouldn't have to be stranded on the island of Patmos, you know, like separated from your friends and family in functionally long-term quarantine in the Roman Empire for you to actually get a glimpse of what God is doing in heaven right now. You wouldn't have to be Isaiah, you know, fearing the imminent destruction of his nation in order to be in a place where you could actually get the glimpse that you need of what God is doing right now. Maybe he told John to write these things down and told Isaiah to write these things down so that there would permanently be something that we could hold on to that helps us to have an insight of what is going on in the world around us right now that we just cannot see. You're looking for a glimpse? Here's your glimpse. Here's your glimpse. You can keep coming back to it as often as you need. Which if you're like me and the world feels a little bit like it does to me, to you, you might need to keep coming back to this frequently right now. So, with that in mind, let's read some of Revelation chapter 4 together. Now, you can read along, or if you like, if you're feeling really bold, you might even close your eyes and just say, God, help me to see this in my mind's eye. Lord, I want a glimpse. I want a glimpse of what you are doing around me right now. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who was there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, as clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. Can you see them? They were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Can you see that picture in your mind's eye? This is a glimpse of what is going on in heaven right now. Now, Revelation chapter 5 will tell us about something that is going to happen in that space that is new. So you can keep reading into the book of Revelation. But that Revelation chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 6, this is a glimpse of what is going on right now in heaven. That God is on his throne in heaven. God is receiving worship in heaven right now. And that's why, even while we wait here on earth, we can still worship fully. "Lord, here I am to worship." You know, sometimes we think about worship like, this is what the pagan religions do, and this is what the health and wealth gospel does. So I'm going to pick on that for a second, just to clear up a misconception. We kind of think like maybe God is needing our worship, like you need encouragement. I need encouragement. I just need a little pick me up someday. I need somebody to say, "Hey, you're doing a good job," or "I'm proud of you." And then I'm like, "Oh, I wasn't having a good day, but now I'm having a good day." It's not like God is like that. God isn't anything like that. He's got plenty of worship around him all the time. Did you hear there's even creatures that their entire purpose is just to worship? That's the reality of heaven right now. God has all the worship that God needs. All of it. He's not waiting for me. "Oh, I would have had a good day, but Andrew didn't say thank you, Jesus, when he found the parking spot in the mall. He didn't say that. And I opened it up for him and everything." Now, maybe God did open up that parking spot for me because he loves me. And he's that intimately involved in your life as well. He doesn't need your worship. So we don't get to manipulate him with our worship. "God, if you do this for me, I'm going to give you all the praise. So you, Lord, you better make that bank account grow, because Well, maybe he will. And he wants to bless you and he loves you. But we don't use our worship to manipulate God. That's what the pagans do. That's what health and wealth gospel does. The reason why we worship is because God is worthy of our worship. Amen? The reason why we worship is because when we worship, even in these moments, in these times of waiting, when things don't make sense, when things around us are just seem chaotic even, and uncertain, the reason why we worship even there and even then is because we are anchoring our souls in a greater reality. That no matter what is happening here on earth, no matter what is happening in your heart, no matter what is happening in your life, God is still on his throne. God is still good. God is still sovereign. God is still keeping his promises. God is overseeing every element of human history. God is in control. We anchor our hearts in that greater reality, even in the time of waiting. And especially in the time of waiting, we anchor our hearts in the greater reality. You don't do gravity any favors by acknowledging it or pretending it doesn't exist. You hurt yourself if you live as if gravity didn't exist. We worship because God is real. Because he is worthy of our worship. Because he is trustworthy. And one day, every promise of God will be fulfilled. And so we worship while we wait. We trust while we wait. What are you waiting for? I mean, what are you really waiting for? You don't need to say it out loud. The deepest longings of your heart are probably really hard to say. But what are you waiting for? You can worship while you wait. God's still there. He's still on his throne. And he's going to keep his promises. Let's pray together. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you that you are worthy of worship and praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you are trustworthy and that one day you will set the world right. We know that the same God who can raise Jesus from the dead can resurrect our lives too. That can resurrect a broken world too. That can bring lasting justice too. And so God, we want to worship you even in our times of waiting right now. Invite you, if there's a particular thing that you're waiting for, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a breakthrough prayer. If you get a prayer journal like mine, and you've got a number of items, God, just break through. I don't know how this is going to get answered. Would you just take a moment just to trust that to him? Just give it over to him. Just give it over to him. God, I want to trust you with this. I want to trust you with this. I know that you'll keep your promises. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And Lord, while I wait, I want to worship. Help me remember who you are, even when I forget sometimes who I am. Lord, I want to worship you. And if for some reason this morning you're feeling a little distant from God, know that he is just one prayer away. I invite you to even if you feel like you need to rededicate your life, just to pray something like this with me. God, thank you that Jesus died on the cross for me. Thank you that he rose again from the dead for me. And thank you that he is coming back one day for me. I give my life to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So invite us to stand, and I invite us to respond with, guess what? Worship. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our worship. Let's remember who he is. Thanks, team, for leading us.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that may this heart.
Please have a seat for a moment as we take out our communion packets. And if you're joining us from home, you could find some bread, you could find some juice, and we can participate together. For some reason, you came in and you didn't receive a communion packet and you would like to, would you just put your hand up and Bill, our amazing usher, he's going to get that to you. Thanks for doing that, Bill. You know how when you're waiting for a really great meal, like maybe you had like a Thanksgiving dinner a little bit like this last Thursday? I hope maybe you did. You know how sometimes it takes a while for that meal to get prepared, and so you find a snack to kind of tide you over, and the snack doesn't replace the meal. It just makes you look forward to the meal more. And it gives you just enough energy to make it until dinner time. Communion's a little bit like that. that one day people from every tribe and race and nation and tongue are going to gather around the Lamb's table in heaven. And in the meantime, while we wait for the dinner to be prepared, Jesus says, remember me in this meal. In this particular meal, this feels like a mighty small snack. This will not last you too long, at least from a food perspective. This is powerful stuff. As we remember each week that Jesus gave his body and shed his blood for us, reminds us that the same Jesus that loved us so much that he would give his body and shed his blood, this same Jesus will not forget his people. He will keep his promises. And one day he is coming again. So hang on. This is just the appetizer. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, it's given for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's a new promise between God and humanity. And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and his resurrection and his certain return. We proclaim it until he comes again. So I'm going to lead us in a short prayer, and then I invite us to serve one another. So as you're partaking of the elements, and I've seen many of you are already positioned yourself to do this, and I think that is so beautiful, is look somebody in the eye and speak these words to them. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Let's remind one another of what this little wafer of bread and this little tiny little cup of juice, what it really means. Jesus will keep his promises. He loves you that much. He's forgiven you through his death and resurrection on the cross. He loves you that much, and he is keeping his promises. Lord, thank you that you are keeping your promises. Lord, help us to remember you well in this bread and in this cup. Amen. Serve one another. In Jesus' name.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely. All together worthy. All together. Here I am to bow down, here I am to say, you're my God.
Let's stand together and sing out together.
You're all together lovely,
all together worthy,
all together wonderful to me.
One more time, here I am.
Here I am to I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
So let's close our service with a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We often call it the Lord's Prayer. And as we, especially as we say these words, our Father who art in heaven, remember the heaven we just, well, some of what that means right now. That's your Father. That's where he is. That's who's listening right now. So let's speak these words out loud together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
For just a moment.
Back from vacation.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's good to be back. I missed all of you. Ha ha ha. And I thought about you daily. That's true. I prayed for you daily. So that's the same thing as thinking about you. Anyway, men of the church, if I say these three words, biscuits, gravy, and bacon, I see some of you already reaching for a napkin because you're salivating. Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, December the 4th, from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we're going to have a men's breakfast. The menu will be biscuits and gravy and bacon. So, men of the church, come on down. Great time to fellowship. The next Saturday, December 11th, from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, there will be women's fellowship time. And rumor is there might even be a silent auction that happens during that. So this Saturday, 9 to 11 for the men, the following Saturday with more information next week from 11 to 1. So if you're available, mark those on your calendar. Heather Olson has some things from our leadership team.
Good morning. I have some pretty exciting announcements. So first and foremost, the leadership team has discussed and we have decided that we are going to open nursery as soon as possible. So yes, we love that. So the thing to think about is we will need some volunteers for that. So good news for that is you don't have to be female. You could be male, right? Everybody can do it. It's easy to love babies. So second announcement is that we have our Christmas offering starting this Sunday, and that gets split up into three different areas. First one is for a third of it goes to our global mission. It's supporting the Covenant Kids Congo, and I believe that there are several, if not more than that, people that go to church that here that are supporting the community in Gemena in the Congo as our church sponsoring our children through Kids Covenant Congo. And the last is the last third goes to supporting our benevolence fund, and that gift helps at-risk families. It helps them with including rental assistance, counseling assistance, utilities, and also food help. So if you would like to give towards that, there is a offering button below. It says for Christmas offering. You just select that and give that way and select from the drop-down menu. And how do you guys like the new projector? Anybody notice that? So we had some volunteers at church yesterday to help to install that. And we are just ever so grateful for a very anonymous donor within the church that helped to provide that for us to be able to see better. So we appreciate that.
Thank you, Heather. For those of you that don't know, on the way out the door, make sure you stop by the coffee bar and wish Michelle Torgerson a very happy birthday. For those of you that don't know, Michelle does lots of stuff around here behind the scenes. And I know Pastor Andrew and I appreciate her so much just for her heart, her blessings, and just that positive attitude that Andrew talked about in the service or in the sermon. Join me in prayer. Lord God, this past Thursday we celebrated Thanksgiving. May each of us remember that we can give thanks every day. Not and the other 364 days throughout the year too. We may not have a turkey or a big meal every day, but we can give thanks and we can give blessing. And as Pastor Andrew said, we can worship anywhere. We can worship at our desk. We can worship in the car driving. We can worship anywhere as long as we're with Jesus. As we leave the building today, may we always love like Jesus. God bless each and every one of you. Depart in peace. Amen.